Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayigash, which begins, of course, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that Yehuda approached Safnas Paneach. And why is Yehuda offering this very long, long-winded explanation when he turns around and he declares, wow, Achiv Meis, he's the one, you sent us down, we have an old father. Why is he giving the whole explanation of the family history? Why doesn't he just plead for Binyamin's life? After all, that's why he came back to Mitzrayim. So Rav Elia Dishnitzer Zatzal explains that it's important to place things into context in order to grasp their full impact. And that's exactly Yehuda's point. He wasn't simply pleading because he got caught. He wanted the entire Parsha perspective to be brought out in order to clarify his position. In other words, in life and in Limud HaTorah, knowing a context makes a difference. And so Yosef hears the context and understands it. V'lo yachol Yosef lesapek, Yosef couldn't hold back. And he turns around and he declares, Ani Yosef ha'ud avichai, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? And v'lo yachlu echav la'anoso, so the brothers couldn't answer him, ki nifhalo mipanav, because they were so blown away by his words. Now the Medrash notes, in the name of Abba Kohen Bardila, Oidlanu miyom hadin, oidlanu miyom hatochecha. We should be fearful on the day of judgment and the day of tochecha, because when the brothers heard Ani Yosef, they couldn't answer him. What are we going to answer on the day of judgment? So the Beis Halevi asks, where do you find tochecha in the words of Yosef? Why the double, and why, while at it, why did Abba Kohen Bardila say, oidlanu miyom hadin, oidlanu miyom hatochecha? So the Beis Halevi answers that what Yosef was demonstrating, the inconsistency in their words. On the one hand, they argued that they were worried about what would happen to Yaakov, but at the same time, they didn't care when he was sold. And the same will be demonstrated to us. We're going to come ahead and step forward, and the Yom Adin, says the Beis Halevi, and we're going to say, oi, we cared. And it's going to turn out that they're going to show us in Shemayim that, quite honestly, we didn't seem to care. Rav Avram Erlinger, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Rav Shlomo Zalman's Yeshiva, he adds that the reaction of Yosef is also inconsistent. He gave them Musar, but immediately he sets out to calm them. Why does he do that? So he answers that the concept of Busha has the power to be Mechaper. And once it was achieved, there was no longer a reason to bring it back up. Once you got the Busha, you got the impact, you don't have to turn around and remind. You don't have to keep lacing it in and keep reminding. And that's also a concept for us to hold on to in life. Yosef turns around and he tells the brothers, go ahead and vigadetem la'avias kokfo dibe mitzrayim, go tell my father about all my glory in Egypt. It's strange. Yosef would want to have Yaakov know about his glory. Why is gaiva important? This type of gaiva, this type of haughtiness, it seemed to be something that Yosef wanted to share. It seems very not proper. So Moshe Sternbach Shlita explains that Yosef wanted Yaakov to know that despite all the glory, he still was a believer and an Oved Hashem. So when they're getting ready to deport, to bring Yaakov down, so Vayipol Tzavari Binyamin Avchiv Vayevk, right? He fell upon Binyamin's neck and cried, Ubinyamin Bachal Tzavara, Binyamin cries on Yosef's neck as well. Rashi notes that each one of them cried over the destruction that the other was to feel. Binyamin cried because he saw that Mishkan Shiloh was going to be destroyed. And Yosef cried because he saw the destruction that was to befall the two Batei Mikdash, which were in Binyamin's Chelek in the land of Israel. So Ramatul Katz Zatzal, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, tells in Cleveland, added that we need to pause and recollect that despite a 22-year absence from one another, the only thing that led the brothers to cry was the impending destruction that they were going to have in the future. That is a tremendous thing. That is the only thing that keeps the brothers in the process of crying. It's important to understand that this, says Ramatul Katz, is true about great people. Great people are always thinking about the future. They're not crying over their current situation. They focus on keeping an eye towards destiny, and that's part of what makes them great. So Yaakov comes back. He hears the brothers come back and they say Yosef is still alive, and Yaakov couldn't believe it and couldn't accept it. But Vayaras Agalos, when he saw the wagons, that was a sign that Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, Yaakov was able to live. So Rashi explains that there was a sign between them, insofar as the last thing that Yaakov had studied with Yosef was the section of Egla Rufa. Now, the Dasakenim Yibali Atosos asks, why were they learning that particular section, Egla Rufa, at that point in time? And so the Dasakenim explain that at first it seemed due to the fact that Yosef had tried to stop Yaakov from accompanying him. And Yaakov said to him, I have to go take you. Of course, just because you're a son doesn't mean that I don't have the responsibilities of Levia. But Rebellious Vezatzal, the late great Philadelphia Rashiva, adds that when you accompany someone, you are stating that he or she is important and his or her life is important. And if someone rises up against you, fight back and stand up for yourselves, because you're definitely worth it. And this is also why the Nesiim brought one wagon per two Nesiim. It was to show the brotherhood between them and that they matter to one another. This is quite an important lesson, given the times that we're living in. You stand up and you fight together. And you stand up and you show every person counts. So Yaakov, of course, is on his way down to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov was afraid. Why was Yaakov afraid to go down to Mitzrayim? So the Ramban explains that in Galus, Yaakov knew that he would not have Hashras Ashchina. He would not have the opportunity to be with God in the same way that he did in Eretz Yisrael. The Geula from that Galus was the creation of the Mishkan and the Hashras Ashchina. And hence the Parshios about the Mishkan are in the Chumash HaGeula. That is to say, Hashras Ashchina is part of the process of Geula. Yaakov didn't want to lose that. So Rosh Hashanah Shlita used to explain to us that Hashem was telling Yaakov that he was with us in the Galus as well. And the Chida explains that this is the idea of Galus Hashchina. It's similar to your Miklat, where the Rabbi Gola Imo, that the Rebbe has to go with him. However, B'mos HaKohen HaGadol, when the Kohen Gadol dies, then the Rebbe doesn't need to be with us in Galus. We should take the ideal for ourselves, says Rosh Hashanah, and that's something we need to think about as well. So by Yisub and Yisrael, as Yaakov, Avim, as Tapam, as Neshem, Bagalos, that Bnei Yisrael carried Yaakov and his children in the wagons. And Reb Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal, former Rishon Lezion, he noted that when walking throughout Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov insisted on walking on his feet. Once he was going to Chutz Laretz, then he traveled by wagon. Think about that for a second. Despite his age, Yaakov considered it a schus to walk in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Mordechai Eliyahu said he told his son to appreciate even the rain of Eretz Yisrael, the roads of Eretz Yisrael, and the opportunity is that every step in there gives us a chance to provide. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read about how Yechezkel was told to take the eights for Yosef and the eights for Yehuda and to put them together. And he says this is one of the important ideas that in the future they will no longer be v'loyu odu shnei goyim v'loyu odu shnei mamlochos, that Bnei Yisrael will develop a sense of Achdus Yisrael. So Rav Meidan Shalita notes that there's a well-known tension between the leadership in Chutz Laretz and the leadership in Eretz Yisrael, even in the times of Galus, of Yehoyachin. That the tension continued well into the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, including hitting a crescendo at the time of Versace Gon and Rav Aaron B'Meir about the calendar, wherein the diaspora Jews kept Yom Kippur and Pesach at a different period in time, in different days, for a full year and a half, because of the debate concerning leap years and who has a right to declare it. And the ultimate solution for all of these problems is the bringing of the leadership of Eretz Yisrael, Yehuda, and Galus Yosef together with David HaMelech, as who will be a king forevermore. We look forward to that opportunity where the brotherhood of Am Yisrael, the Achdus Yisrael, stands tall and proud. But until we get there, we need to make sure that we stand biyachad, we stand and support one another. And when we get to that stage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will achieve us within that process as well. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom to all.